very much. Thank you, Betty. Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Let's ask God to bless His word. Father, we thank You for this wonderful day You've given us. Thank You for the blessing of this day. Thank You for the Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus, did come. And Lord, because He come and shed His blood, there's hope for us who are members of Adam's fallen race. Hope of a salvation that reaches beyond this veil of tears, that's eternally secured in the blood of the everlasting covenant that was spilt on Calvary's cross. Thank You for Jesus, that He did come, that He's coming again someday. Now, speak to our hearts, and may we hear from heaven. May we get food for our soul today in this service. Speak to us, and Lord, I pray that somebody will be saved, somebody will be helped, and all will be encouraged in the Lord today. And we'll thank You. Lord, make it easy if people come down this aisle to Jesus and the invitation's given. We'll thank You in His name. Amen. Amen. On March the 24th, that's 2 weeks ago last Friday, a 987-foot tanker, the Exxon Valdez, was carrying 1.2 million barrels of crude oil through from the Trans-Alaskan pipeline, left the Alaskan port city of Valdez, headed through the beautiful 10-mile-wide Prince William Sound. However, you know the story from, if you haven't had your head stuck in the sand, you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says, about the tanker captain, Joseph Hazelwood, was drunk, so drunk he couldn't navigate the ship, turned it over to an unqualified officer, and you know the story of how that the Exxon Valdez got off course, hit a reef, spilling 10.1 million gallons of, I understand, mayonnaise-like crude oil in the water. And when the captain was arraigned in a New York court, the judge, Kenneth Roll, termed the oil spill from this wrecked tanker the worst man-made destruction since Hiroshima. Now, it was an ecological and environmental disaster. The oil spill covered the area the size of the state of Delaware. And it was a sad sight to see all those pictures of the dead animals and the oil-covered birds and you've been seeing them every day in the newspapers and on television. But you know, that is a sad sight. But worse disasters happen every day all around us. Now, eventually, Mother Nature will clean itself up there in the Alaskan waters. I don't know how long it'll take, but eventually Mother Nature will take care of cleaning those Alaskan waters up, and the animal and marine life eventually will repopulate itself. But you know, there's boys and girls and men and women all over the gray area, all over northeast Tennessee, who are going to shipwreck themselves morally, spiritually, and eternally. And constantly this shipwreck is going on. And it's a far worse disaster than what happened in the Alaskan waters. Now, the Apostle Paul, here in 1 Timothy 1, warns a young pastor, Timothy, that some who have made themselves have become shipwrecked concerning the faith. And Paul said, I've delivered them unto Satan that they might not learn to blaspheme. And these three verses that I've read, there's a tremendous message for us today. So I want to make a deal with you. I promise you that I won't look at my watch. I've turned it over if you won't. Because I've got a message I want to preach to you today. And don't you leave unless you're sick or in an emergency. But I want to get, there's a message from God's word, God laid on my heart, that I want you to hear. First of all, notice the charge in verse 118. 1 Timothy 1:18 here. I want you to see, first of all, that this charge or instruction or mandate the Apostle Paul gave to this young pastor at the church of Ephesus, whom he calls my son Timothy. Now, Paul had won young Timothy to Christ back as a young boy, maybe as a young teenager. And Paul, back in verse 2, calls him mine own son in the faith. You may be a mother or a father of a son or daughter physically, but do you have any spiritual children this morning? Is there someone that you can point to and say that I've won that person to Jesus Christ, and there's a person who is my son in the faith, or there is a girl that's my daughter in the faith? One of the greatest things in the world is to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ. And I want this church to produce soul winners for Jesus Christ. And our ladies went out and won four ladies to Christ this week. And our men went out, and I think we had one man saved this week. And that's a wonderful thing. Daniel 12:3 says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. You will shine forever in heaven to have souls up there that you've won to Jesus Christ. Now in this verse 18, there are two main things in this charge Paul gave Timothy I want us to see. First of all, notice the exhortation that he received here in verse 18. He was exhorted to not forget the prophecies and instructions he had been given as he sat under Paul's ministry. Or this may refer to the time when they laid hands on Timothy, when they set him apart for the gospel ministry and told him to be a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ and never dip the flag. And I want to charge, I want to have to be careful this morning. I don't preach too fast this sermon because there's a message in my soul I want you to get. But I want to charge every member of this church before God and as your pastor to be faithful to this book and to the God of this book and never, never, never turn back to the onions and garlics of the world if you're a child of God. And then never, never leave a fundamental, Bible-believing, old-fashioned, Christ-exalting, sin-killing church and go out into some liberal, compromising, new evangelical church. Don't do it, folks. I charge you to stay by the stuff. Make up your mind that once and for all, brother, you're headed for heaven with your hammer down. There's no turning back. That's the kind of Christians we need to produce here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist. People that are on their way and there's no turning back. I charge you to be that kind of... What do you have to turn back to if you've been born again, been saved by God's grace? What is there out there to turn back to? Then, notice another thing in this verse 18, the engagement that Paul told him he faced. He said, Timothy, the Christian life is no bed of roses. He said, I charge you to war a good warfare. Now, he primarily had in mind these agents of Satan there in the church of Ephesus who were teaching false doctrine and they were living ungodly lives. And Timothy was charged to attack these false teachers on these two fronts. You know, we are saved. We need to realize that we're going to be in a battle, a spiritual battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil the rest of our days on this earth. I mean, you say, well, I'm in no battle. Well, you've never even got into fight yet. You'd get out there and start serving the Lord, and brother, you realize that you're in a battle. And until we'll never be a victorious Christian until we realize we are in a live and death struggle with the forces of darkness. I want to come to the end of the way and look back over my life and say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And brother, as you go to Hawaii, spend your time over there being faithful to Jesus Christ, and one day leave those islands. As you pull away in an airplane or a ship, look back and say, I've fought a good fight. Hallelujah. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Thank God. And so I charge each servant of Jesus Christ, each born again child of God this morning, to, as a Christian soldier, listen, war a good warfare. Fight a good fight. Then let's move on down into verse 19. We see the course to follow. Holding faith in a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. If you notice the illustration, Paul moves from the army in verse 18 to the navy in verse 19. He's saying, Timothy, get on the right course and stay there so you won't shipwreck. Now that Exxon Valdez strayed off course. They said 10 miles wide, a child ought to have been able to guide that ship through the 10 mile wide deep Prince William Sound there. But they got off course and they shipwrecked. And some members of the church, Paul names them, we'll see in verse 20, had strayed off the course morally and spiritually. And they had shipwrecked. And Paul gives him two things in verse 19 that would keep him on the right course in life and will keep him from being a shipwreck. Notice this course was revealed. He said two things, holding faith and a good conscience. And none of us knows what is ahead in life. But Paul right here gives us in this verse, brother, two things that'll help us to navigate the uncharted course that lies ahead in life. Paul just said, hold on to the faith and hold on to a good conscience. Hold on to the old time religion. Hold on to the book. And I'll guarantee you, if you will, regardless of what comes or what goes in life, brother, you're going to make it. If you'll hold on to faith and hold on to a good conscience. As Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let that book be your guide down through life. That book will be a light shining in a dark place for you. And you just won't make it in life unless you live by the book. And then Paul said, hold on to a good conscience. Now, we can't always go by conscience. Sometimes our consciences may be seared with a hot iron. But one of the greatest things in life is a good conscience, is a clear conscience. The conscience is sort of, I guess a good word for conscience, it's the umpire of the soul of man. When my conscience says all is well, brother, there's peace and joy there, isn't there? And when my conscience says all is well, brother, there's great freedom from guilt in my soul. There's nothing in this world like being right with God and being right with man. Paul said in Acts 24:16, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. You may have come to this service this morning looking for some answers to life. Right here it is. Here's the answer. Right here in verse 19 is the answer to life. Hold on to faith in Jesus Christ and hold on to a good conscience. What's your umpire saying down deep in your soul this morning? Is that umpire saying, all is well? Everything's okay? And as you navigate the sea of life, can you say, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior? I want to say that, don't you? I want to be able to say, hallelujah, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Then notice this course was rejected in verse 19. Paul said, some have got off course and have shipwrecked. They've put away or discarded or rejected faith and a good conscience. Let me ask you to do something. Let me urge you to. Don't put away or don't discard or don't reject the Word of God that you've heard taught and preached at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Don't reject what we're giving you from God's Word around here. And don't reject a good conscience. Obey the Word of God. Obey the Holy Ghost as He moves on your soul and on your conscience. Paul said, Timothy called him son, my son Timothy. Now, my son, as you heard him pray here, is here this morning. I don't get to preach to you too much, Dory. I want to preach to you. I want to zero in on you this morning. No. My son, Tor, he's been in school. He's going to go out and serve the Lord. And Tor, hold on to the faith of your mother and your father. Hold on, Tor, to a good conscience. This old-time religion, brother, I can tell my son it worked recently when I was lying on a board. They were starting to go down in my heart. As I faced maybe eternity, I could face it unafraid. I thought, brother, if something happens to me, I'll just leave here and go be with Jesus. You can't beat the old-time religion. You can't beat faith in Jesus Christ and a good conscience. Then notice in verse 20, the consequence. In verse 18, the charge that he gave, and then the course. And then in verse 20, the consequence of taking the wrong course in life is shipwreck. And you know the wreck of the Exxon Valdez on that Bly Reef in Prince William Sound on March 24th was sad. But if you suffer spiritual shipwreck, it will be infinitely worse than the wreck of that oil tanker there in the Prince William Sound. Notice three or four things now in this verse 20 that concerning this shipwreck. Paul, first of all, gave us the people involved. He names two, Hymenaeus and Alexander. And I look down and see my time, so don't look at your watch. Now, I don't know where we are, but I know where we're going. So let me just guide you right on through this. Now there's a message here for us, folks. Don't you want to come to God's house and get something out of God's Word? Now let's get in God's Word. There's a message here for us. There's a message. I don't want to see one of you become shipwrecked. Here's two men that shipwrecked themselves. Paul names them. First he said Hymenaeus. Turn over to right just a few pages, 2 Timothy 2, 17 and 18. And we see that this gentleman, I guess it can be called that, said the resurrection was already past and tore the church all to pieces there. Was shipwrecking people in their faith. Look at verse 17 and 18. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. And then Alexander gave old Paul a hard time. Look at chapter 4, verse 14 of 2 Timothy. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work. So Paul named these two troublemakers in the church at Ephesus, the two that had not only shipwrecked themselves, but they had shipwrecked others. Then notice the punishment invoked in this verse. Paul said, I've delivered these two or turned them over to Satan. Now, I don't fully understand what that means. Most think that probably Paul had in mind that they excommunicated them from the church at Ephesus or kicked them out of the church, churched them. And that left them open to the attack of Satan. You know, we need the church. You need the church. I need the church. When we unite with the church, and then after we get saved and fall in love with the church and enjoy fellowship with the people around the church and attend the services, Sunday school and church and Sunday evening service and Wednesday night and the revivals, listen, it'll be good for you to come every night to hear Brother Mays this week. You ought to be here every night. When you sit under preaching and teaching of God's Word, you know what the church will do for you? If you mean business, if you get saved and get in the church and put your heart in the church will provide a wall of protection around you against Satan. But when you lay out of church and when you fail to attend its services and turn against the church and turn against the pastor, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be a sitting duck for the attacks of His Majesty, the devil. I've never seen anybody succeed and grow spiritually who opposed the church of the living God. The church is a wall of protection for you from Satan. I need Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You may be a better Christian. I don't need the church. I need this church. And also, you know what I need to do? I need to come here every Sunday and preach the Word of God. I need to do this. I need to preach. Now, listen, if I didn't need money, I'd pay you to let me preach instead of you paying me. I've got to preach. It makes me study more, makes me pray more, makes me depend on God more. And I couldn't hardly make it without the church. And you can't either. Listen, without the help you get from God's house and from the Church of the Living God, all the spiritual help you get, you're not going to make it spiritually. You might get saved and lay out of God's house, but I'll guarantee you'll never be much of a Christian until you get hooked on to a local church and get involved in fellowshipping and loving the house of God. And that's a great protection from satanic attacks. Now another question arises. Does turning them over to Satan mean more than just putting them out of church? There's questions people ask, does that involve suffering? Does it involve pain? Does it involve sickness or even death? Well, I believe it does. I believe it's more than excommunication here. In Acts 5, the Apostle Peter told Ananias and Sapphira, you know the story very well, that he said, "Why have you lied?" He said, "Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost," and brother, they both plopped down dead at his feet. And then over in 1 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul said there was a man who was committing adultery with his stepmother in the church at Corinth, and he said, "I delivered him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his soul might be saved in the day of Jesus Christ." Now, as I said, I don't fully understand what all this means here of turning someone over to Satan, but the consequences are always frightful. I don't understand it. I just believe it. And I certainly don't want to be turned over to Satan. Do you? Certainly not. Notice the purpose intended for this action. Paul said, "The reason that I've turned Hymenaeus and Alexander over to Satan is so they and everyone else will learn you can't mock and you can't blaspheme God." You need to learn that lesson. Everyone needs to learn that lesson this morning. You can't trample on the old time religion. You can't trample on the Word of God and holy living. You can't do it. You can't do it. Paul said, these two gentlemen need to learn not to blaspheme. What an awful thing it is, say about a person. Shipwreck. Shipwreck. Now, the captain of the Valdez Exxon got drunk, left a third mate or an officer there at the helm, And they got off course. I read somewhere where they locked it, maybe on automatic pilot, and before he could get it back off that, and it was hit the reef there and shipwrecked. Now, how can you and I, I'm going to pull this thing together. Now, listen to me close now as I come to a conclusion. How can you and I avoid becoming shipwrecked? One way, get on the right course in life. And stay on the right course all the days of your life. That is the way to avoid a shipwrecked life. Child of God, member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, it's a pretty good thing to be a saved child of God, to be a member of a church. But listen, if you are a saved person this morning, the way to keep from being shipwrecked spiritually is stay in the book. Read the book every day. Live in the book and buy the book. And then stay on your knees in prayer. Stay on your knees. And stay out of the hell holes of the world. Now, do you know that's not a popular theme in our modern churches of this day? But folks, I'm going to preach it until I die. You've got to live a separated life if you're going to know the blessing of God in your life. Stay out of the hell holes of the world. And stay close to Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's the answer. All of us just staying close to the Lord. Staying close to Jesus. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always. And feed on His Word. Thus led by the Spirit, two fountains above, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. Hallelujah. Just stay close to the Lord. Get saved and stay close to Jesus. Stay close to Him is the answer for a Christian to keep from being shipwrecked. And then unsaved friend, if you're here and in this building today, I'm sure there's probably those here without Jesus Christ. And I love your soul. Listen to this preacher for just a moment. We'll be through. Don't go on in sin. Don't walk out those doors back there without Jesus Christ. I can't help you, but I can tell you one who can help you, and that's Jesus. Don't reject Him as Lord and Savior. Don't trample on God, and don't trample on the book, and don't trample on that blood. Oh, those little lambs that were slain and put on the doorpost, they were safe under that blood there. And then one came thousands of years later, the Lord, and shed His blood. When you come to Jesus, you're safe under the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't say no to the call of God's Spirit. You will eternally shipwreck your soul if you say no to the call of God's Spirit. There was an article yesterday in the Johnson City Press. It said the Prince William Sound contains about 800 cubic miles of water. And this is real interesting. And this sound flushes itself about every 20 days. It completely flushes itself. And the writer of this article said he didn't know how long it would take to remove the stains and the damage done there, the scar, the oil stains that scarred nature. But he said, given time, the sound will recover. But unsaved friend, if you reject Jesus Christ, and if you die without the Lord, listen to me, you will shipwreck your soul on the shores of eternity, and there will be no recovery. Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he'd gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? My message, don't shipwreck your soul. Don't do it. Jesus loves you. Come to Him. Get saved. Get in. And then once you get in, live for Jesus the rest of your days on this earth. And don't be a shipwreck. Let's bow our heads for prayer. What a message. What a message. Don't shipwreck your soul. Don't shipwreck your soul. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. I want to help you. I don't want to come and just earn a salary, spin my wheels. I want to have a message of my soul to your soul when I stand up here. I'm going to face God someday. I don't want Him to say, Gene, why weren't you faithful to the souls of the people that sat under your ministry? And I want to be faithful from my soul to your soul. I want to beg you this morning, don't shipwreck your soul. Get saved if you're not saved. Come to Jesus. He's the only safety for your never-dying soul. And then the rest of your days on this earth, live close to Jesus Christ. Love Him and serve Him and live close to Him. Oh, that's a way. That's the way to keep from being shipwrecked. How many here this morning say, preacher, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know the Lord. I'm glad I can just raise a hand and testify to that this morning. I am saved. No more to heaven. Raise your hand if you can say that. Just lift your hand up. Yes, put it back down. Put it back down. Thank the Lord for that good host of hands that could go up. Some of you couldn't say it. And listen, I want to help you today. I want you to come to Jesus and to come to know Him. And you'll never, never regret it if you really get to know the Lord and really get saved. And if you just come to Him, He said, I'll know why it's cast out. And He loves you. If you're here today without Christ, I want to pray for you in just a few moments. But there are Christians who will shipwreck their soul if they're not careful. If they don't hold on to the faith and hold on to a good conscience. Maybe you, Christian, you can't say this morning that everything is all right between my soul and the Savior. What a wonderful thing to be able to say. Down, what about that umpire in your soul right now, Christian? Is it saying all is well? If not, you ought to come to the Lord this morning and rededicate your life and get some things straightened out so you can leave here saying, thank God, all is well. There's nothing between my soul and the Savior. God brought you here for this message today. I believe God laid this on my heart. I believe God brought you here. All of those who say, preacher, I need prayer. I'm not saved, or I am saved, but I God spoke to my heart about something this morning. All over the house, let me pray for you. Right, just slip your hand up. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you over here. Anyone else? It's two or three that's raised a hand. Let me pray for you. Preacher, pray for me today. God has spoken to my heart. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just slip the hand right up. I don't want you to be shipwrecked. I want to help you. Christ is the answer to the needs of your heart. People are grasping here and reaching there for things that don't satisfy. Only Christ can satisfy. Anyone else? Let me pray for you. Just lift the hand right up and I'll pray. Yes, God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else? That message ought to speak to your heart. If you have been saved this morning, and you're out of the will of God, listen, come back to the faith. Come back to a good conscience. Don't shipwreck yourself. Anyone else? Slip your hand right up and I'll pray for you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Father, we thank you today for this privilege of, Lord, telling the old story again. Lord, this is what I believe you laid on my heart. Lord, I've tried to be faithful to the souls of men. Lord, I don't want to see a one of our dear people, none from the balcony to all down on the main floor. I don't want to see a one of them, Lord, mess their life up, ruin their life, and become shipwrecked. Lord, may people do business with the Lord today. Lord, help them, I pray. May these who come down, may these who raise their hand come down this aisle and rededicate their life or get saved. Maybe somebody needs to join the church, whatever it is. Some here were saved, need to make it public. And may we have a great march down this aisle to this altar and to Jesus and to heaven this morning. Holy Spirit, I've tried to obey you. Preach the truth. Holy Spirit, you draw men to Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's my message. I believe from my heart to your heart, that's my message to you. Don't shipwreck yourself. There are shipwrecks everywhere today. I don't want you to be one of them. If you've never been saved, come on. If you need to rededicate your life or some other problem you need to face and do business, Lord, come on. If you need to join the church, come on. You who raised your hand, I'd like to meet you in the altar here and pray with you and help you this morning. Come on. Let's have a march down this aisle. Just come on. As soon as we start singing, come on. We'll pray with you and help you. Let's stand and sing 282. 282. Everyone who raised a hand, the lady back here, the young boy, the men, everyone else, raise your hand. If you've been saved, you need to make it public. Come on the first verse right now. As we sing, come on.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
over 40 years ago, an uneducated preacher down in Southeast Tennessee gave an invitation just like this, and I came forward as a 13-year-old boy and accepted Jesus Christ, and he's made the difference in my life. He's helped me down through life. I know that Christ can make a difference in your life. Thank the Lord these two ladies saved the home. This one dear lady here wants to do business with God today. Sir, why don't you come? Young fellow over here, raise your hand. Won't you slip on out? Come right now, son. Come on down this aisle. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Brother Garrett, let's sing another verse. If you need to do business with the Holy God today, come on right now. Come on. If the Spirit is drawing you, come on to Christ. God has been waiting for a long time on you to make a step toward Him. Come on. Come on. Make this the day that when your life is turned around, you're headed God's way from this moment on, the rest of your days on this earth. Oh, you never go wrong and go in God's way. The right course through life to avoid shipwreck is the way of the cross. Come on. Let's sing. You come with heads bowed and eyes closed. Come on right now if you need to come. For any reason, just come on. We need to come to pray. Whatever it is, let the Lord have His way. Come on.
Just as I am, no tossed about with my
son here. Come on. Son over here, raise your hand. Come on. Over here, the Lord raised his hand. The men back here. The men that raised their hand. Come on. Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's sing that verse, Brother Garrett. Just as I am, thou wilt receive. Will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Amen. He will receive you just as you are. You say, preacher, you don't know my circumstances. My God can take care of all circumstances if you'll give him a chance. The thing is, we don't give the Lord a chance in our life. We want to work our lives out first. No, you'll never do it. Just come as you are and let the Lord work things out in your life. Just as I am, thou wilt receive. Come on.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive. Wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise.
Sing one verse of softly and tenderly. One more verse. What number is that?
296.
296. Turn to that. And we'll be through if no one else comes on this verse. I know we've kept you a little bit longer today, and I want to apologize for that. You had a beautiful drawing, and we've heard the Word of God. I don't apologize for preaching the message God's laid on my heart. Some churches, they walk out on you at 12. You can walk out if you want to at 12. We're not going to be through. God gets through with us here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And we've had a message this morning from God, from His Word. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. That's the message. How will you respond? 296. Let's sing the first verse. You're going to get in. Come on, right now as we sing this verse.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who
just a moment, please. We thank the Lord for these who came today. Let's see.